Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, the show about everything and nothing at all. Now please welcome the Educated Redneck himself, Mr. Dan Ellison.
Greetings! We are here. It is another show. It is the last Monday in March. Holy shit. Folks, time is ripping by. We 3 months into the next year. Got the big solar eclipse coming up. People freaking out. Government's not, government, get food and water, be ready for a disaster. I wonder what they know that we don't know. Because we need to talk about that. That's something we're going to talk about. But first, we get to the weekend. Had a fantastic weekend of work. Went up to Ohio, to Coshocton and Dresden. Folks, if you happen to be in that area of the country, do yourself a huge favor. The comedy shows are held at the Warehouse, and it is owned by a wonderful guy named John. And the food there is excellent. Oh, my God, do they have some great food. And it's that, I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, if you go there, you will not be disappointed. They don't have a bad thing on the menu. They have excellent service. They have fantastic people. And if you happen to go there, tell John that the Educated Redneck sent you, because we had one sold out show and one that was so close to sold out, there was like five seats. So excellent shows, excellent people. Been going there for years and their food is just, oh, so much. So much reminds me of down home cooking. So, folks, do yourself a favor. Check it out. It's a good place. Had a good drive home. It's always, you know, it's always amazing to me how much time and it takes to get from place to place now as opposed to the past, and realize how much we can move around now, because we can seriously, you know, be in Ohio one day and back home the next day after going through Maryland, Pennsylvania, and all that other stuff. But glad to be home. Vanna White's working out excellent. She's got her solar now. All she's got left that she needs is her, I'm putting a little cabinet on the door that I'm not going to use. Space is one of those things that if you've ever lived in a van, there never seems to be enough of. You've got to constantly try to pick your way around and utilize every inch of the van. And I'm going to tell you what, people go, well, is the van feasible? Yeah, the van's feasible, even with the gas prices. And here's why. I save $100 a day on hotel rooms. I mean, I'm going to check into a hotel room, take a shower, maybe nap there, get out the next day, and then they want $100, $120. Unless you want to stay in an absolute dive, and then you'll spend more than $100 trying to get rid of the bed bugs. So you got your choices. A lot of my gigs come with hotel rooms. Some of them don't. When we're out in the Jokers and Jesters, we get sponsors. So it's a whole hodgepodge. This is an industry where if you think you can make more money, and if you're just sitting there trying to wait for work to come to you, that's the difference. The difference between employed by somebody and self-employed, because everybody has this fantasy that being self-employed means you ain't got to do nothing. It's, everything comes to you. See, you're used to a job where you walk inside and all your work is on your desk. Somebody found it for you, and then they told you to do it, and then you did it. Being self-employed means I have to go find the work first and then do the work second. So I'm everything. And if I don't bust my ass, there is no work. If there is no work, there is no money. It is not a walk in the park. However, I will say this. I don't have to deal with asshole bosses. That's what's happened in this country with a lot of businesses. They believe they can just be assholes to everybody. It wasn't that way long ago. It really wasn't. But this whole, we've got to squeeze every penny out of you that we can squeeze out of you, is bullshit. Especially when you're paying your top people millions and you're paying your bottom people thousands. Again, I do not want the government to step in and say that you have to pay this much or that much. It should be common decency. You get what I'm saying? You should be a decent person, and when somebody works for you, pay them a decent living wage. And it shouldn't be the government stepping in like they're trying to say now. They're trying to put minimum wage at $50. Jesus Christ, you want a $2,000 burger? Because that's how you get a $2,000 burger. You can't just keep artificially. But the people at the top, they could take pay cuts. They most certainly could take pay cuts. And see, that's why I'm saying people, well, the government should. No, the government shouldn't. You should. If you see a corporation that pays its CEO way more than it pays anybody in the company, don't shop there. Seriously. We do not need government control. Government control does not result in better results. It results in more expensive results, not better. Take a look around you at the vaccines. That's controlled by the FDA. Has the FDA really done anything? Look at all the products. Look at all the garbage products we're allowed to sell on our shelves. So don't tell me the FDA even has a purpose, because it does not. It used to have a purpose, but now it is bought and paid for by every big company out there. See, that's why the big companies can run the little companies out, because the big companies can hire a bunch of people to dance in the circles that the EPA and all of them put out and the FDA. And then they line the pockets of those people so that they carve out little niches so that they don't have to spend the money that mom and pop have to spend. And also, notice, they were the ones left open. They were the ones left open during the Rona, while mom and pop were told to shut it down. That's a fact. That's a reality. That's something nobody wants to hear, but it's the truth. You better wise up is what you better do. You had better wise up. Because I'm telling you that they're going to monopolies used to be a bad thing in this country. Now BlackRock is the biggest monopoly in the world, yet everybody just turns a blind eye to it as they scoop up houses and farmlands and telecommunication companies. They were never intended to be companies this large. I am for antitrust laws because it is too easy to buy our representatives, air quote. Way too easy to buy our representatives. So, as you can tell, there's a lot on my mind. We will find out what's on Herman's mind. And then, as usual, we'll take off on a conversation. I can't tell you where the conversation is going to go because we absolutely do not script the show. We don't send notes. We don't say, I want to talk about this, other than the very beginning. And then once we start talking about it, we let her rock and roll. Whatever's whatever, whatever the conversation turns out, it's just two people talking. And that's the beauty of this show. You never know what we're going to talk about. You never know that. Hell, I don't even know, and I'm running the show. All I can tell you is that it'll be a fantastic time. I can tell you that. You will definitely enjoy it. So we're going to be getting our first commercial break out of the way. And one of the things I want to do is I want to plug my buddy Jake. Jokers and Jesters, the Lone Jester Tour is out on the highway right at the moment, but it is part of the Jokers and Jesters Tour itself. And so what I'm going to do is, wait a minute, there it is. What I'm going to do is play our commercial for the Jokers and Jesters Comedy Tour. I'll be back with him in August for the run to the end of the year, September, October, November, December. We go on tour. I'm telling you what, if you've never toured, you wouldn't understand why I take some of the year off. Because let me tell you something, folks. Touring is not for the timid. You get tired driving, setting up, tearing down, doing shows every day. It's one of these things where you see these rock stars and they talk about, you know, getting tired and having breakdowns on the highway as far as mentally. And it's easy to see why if you've ever toured. It is hard. It is not an easy thing to do. People say, oh, I could just go do it. No, let me tell you something. You work. You work. You earn it. You earn every bit of everything. So start with a shameless plug. I'm going to get Herman, and we'll be right back.
That's right. The Jokers and Jesters Comedy Tour is back on the road. We are currently promoting our second Amazon Prime special, Jokers and Jesters, the next special. We will be touring small towns across this great country of ours. So for our tour dates, follow us on Facebook at Jokers and Jester Comedy Tour or at our website, jokersandjester.com. It's a great night of music, laughter, and magic. Don't miss us as we come to a small town near you.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should join us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where I am always hosting. My name is Felicia DeRozier, and I have two amazing co-hosts.
Cross, the favorite.
You wish.
This is Mariah, the real favorite child.
Oh, sure.
We spend a lot of time learning about the Bible and possibly a little time learning about humility. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah,
Mariah. We air live every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 10:30. Right now we're going through the book of Romans, but we're going to start moving into the Gospel of John. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about living and walking in the Spirit and learning to be a little humble with those that we live with. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait for you to join us. Right, guys?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
And we're here. And I found Herman. Say hey, Herman.
What's happening? What's going on, buddy?
Man, for those of you who don't know, if you happen to hear our show and you're in Norfolk, we have a show starting in the place called Seven Spices.
All right.
And we've only 2 weeks in and we've already got a crowd growing.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Enjoy ourselves, man. Everybody's working as a team.
That's the thing, man. It's beautiful to find people who want to work together.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing, man.
And nobody's complaining. Everybody's excited about coming together. That's what's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Working together, brother.
Hey, it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. And I don't think people get that.
Energy is matching, and the vibration is a sequence. Everything runs smoothly.
And also, when you treat people as adults instead of what corporate America does, when you treat them as adults, pay them and tell them what their job is and then leave them alone, people are happier.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Let me do what I know how to do.
Yeah. And I just saw a thing where they're paying this one CEO of a company something like $100 million, and I'm just like, why? Can you explain to me what makes one person in a company worth $100 million?
Yes, one person.
One person. Whereas if you didn't pay the janitor, your building would go to shit. If you didn't employ your pay your people, then you wouldn't have a business.
If you didn't pay your roofer, then the roofer would always be leaking.
That's right. So why is one man worth that much money? And the reason I asked that question, because here's the other thing, and I've said this and I mean this, I do not want government regulations saying what people can be paid. I don't
know.
But that leaves it up to the people to research where you're buying your shit from, and if that's something they're doing, quit buying their shit and they'll quit doing it.
And people have to understand that is a democratic-driven society.
Oh, yeah.
Democrats want to know every dime you have in your pocket.
Right. Yet we send billions over to Ukraine and they can piss it away and buy yachts and have parties and do whatever they're doing with it. Yet we have to account for $1.50 with a receipt.
Yeah.
Or we will be put in jail, robbed, penalized, yet they go over there and lose billions, which makes its way back to the Democrats, by the way, and the Republicans, because they're all on this jerk-off payroll. And so they are a war machine. So they keep the war moving. They keep feeding the machine, and the machine keeps shitting out profits for them.
Now, who's the only one that doesn't need money for the machine? You hear me?
Who?
Donald Trump.
True.
He's the only one. See, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not a Donald Trump fan, okay? I'm just a realist.
I'm Donald in that Trump, exact boat.
Yes. Donald Trump is the only candidate out of all of the candidates that has no true skin in what's going on. His skin is in, he's into making money in society. He's not into being controlled by the politics.
True.
He's not worried about them playing. He's not worried about their salary. He doesn't have to worry about it. He's self-contained.
And everybody forgets his whole time as president, he donated his salary. He did not accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Biden is a multimillionaire also and makes millions off China. But he still takes his paycheck because he's a money grubber, and he'll chase every single penny no matter who gets hurt.
Yeah, and Biden really will deal with things the way they tell him to deal for the setup, but he doesn't approve of us talking like we are now.
No, absolutely not. Because they control the truth. They are now the truth ministry. They know everything Germany had, we are now.
Yeah.
We are blaming one group of people, MAGA Republicans. We are demonizing one group to the point where they can't even speak their side. If you can't see Nazi Germany in that, then you are a Democrat.
Yes. And I'm always Democrats are talking about how violent Republicans are. Every time I listen to a Democrat, they talk about Donald Trump. They talk about hurting him, putting him in jail, killing him. I mean, for real, it's serious.
Yeah. Ruining him, bankrupting him. It's an obsession. It's kind of like when you sit and listen to somebody talk about their ex.
Yeah.
They hate him with the same venom Simpy hates their exes. And that creates that unreasoned hate. Unreasoned hate where you'll cut your nose off to spite your face just to get even with somebody you hate.
Yeah, that's like an angry wife.
Yeah.
You want a divorce and you're sick of this son of a gun. You don't just want the divorce. You want him dead. I want to bury him. I want to kill his life. What?
I want him to be homeless. I want him to lose everything. I'm going to teach him a lesson. That's the kind of unreasoned hate we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because when you get right, let's get to the brass tacks of it. What has Donald Trump done when he was in office that was wrong? The economy was great. Gas was in the buck range. People were bringing manufacturing back to the United States. There were no wars. Oh, he made mean tweets and said bad things. Cry me a fucking river.
Well, he did say he wanted to grab a woman's pussy, even though Bill Clinton got his dick sucked in the White House. I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, hey, let's go back to that, though, really. The thing they're really upset about, because they're trying to frame it as that he was grabbing women's pussies. No, that is not how it was framed. He was talking about the cheap bimbos that show up to these events where all these multimillionaires are and will basically give up the pussy for money.
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about. Now, let's go to Biden, who is in a picture op and loses track, air quotes, of his hand and ends up grabbing a little six-year-old girl's titty who became uncomfortable enough that she shrugged his arm off and he moved it back again. That right there is disgusting, but nobody will call him out for it because he's a Democrat. Yeah, Donald Trump can say grab him by the pussy. Girls who are of age who wanted to have their pussy grabbed because that's why they're there, because they know if they do that, they get money, they get to go on yachts, they get to go. They are gold diggers, folks.
Yeah. But underage children are great for Biden.
Right. Well, they're wanting underage children to be able to change their sex, so that tells you what they think of underage children.
Well, what they really think about underage children, they really make good toppings for pizza.
Yeah. Of course, you're a conspiracy theorist for saying Pizzagate, although it's been proven. And I just saw another interview with Corey Haim.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he's sitting there going, that's all of Hollywood. And he talks about, who was it? I'm trying to think of who it was. But he got
Charlie Sheen.
He got bent over between a trailer by Charlie Sheen.
And used some Crisco.
Right.
Slapped some Crisco between his butt cheeks and tore him up.
And nobody will investigate that. It's funny, some chick, ugly chick, can whisper, Donald Trump did something 10 years ago. She can't give you the date. She can't give you the location. She can't give you anything, but they instantly believe her. But Corey can give them the location and what happened to a detail, and they will not investigate it because it's Hollyweird, and Hollyweird is protected.
And rape is rape, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Dwight Howard, who just played for the Orlando Magic and the Los Angeles Lakers, if he's accused of gang raping another man, they ran a train on another man. They gang raped another man. Why isn't this man getting the same publicity as Bill Cosby received from these women?
Everybody should ask themselves that question. There's a lot going on, folks. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And if you just pick your eyes up for a second and look, you start seeing things that you don't want to see, so you just put your head back down and go, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. That's made up. That can't possibly be what it's been out there. And the answer is, yes, it has been out there. You've just been ignoring it for your convenience.
Yes. You ignore it because you say, oh, well, that's just ignorance, so I will ignore it. No, we must address it.
Right. Well, that also means that you can't enjoy your movies. How can you enjoy your movie if you know most of the people in the movie are rapists or have been raped?
Yeah.
How do you sit down and look at that and take pleasure from it, knowing what those people have suffered?
And we can go on and on and on about who's been quote-unquote raped into the industry, and it doesn't stop. As a matter of fact, when it goes by, it's almost everybody. Matter of fact, the guy from Sanford and Son, that played the son in Sanford and Son, Lamont, he said no one escapes. If you're a top Hollywood actor or actress, you've done the booty game.
Yeah. It's this. You couldn't make it. More people couldn't speak out about something. I'm serious. Congress will have. They will impeach Donald Trump because of one person's word of what they heard of a conversation that was relayed to them by somebody else, which in court would be called hearsay and be completely inadmissible. Yet we can have dozens of people speaking out, if not close to 100 now, speaking out, and everybody goes, they're just trying to get some fame.
When you have men standing up in dresses in the White House, something's wrong.
Yeah.
This is not a place for your dollhouse games.
Well, see, that's why I'm finally seeing women speaking out. And I wonder what took them so long to realize that they're just being denigrated by these people who, a man who can just say he's a woman now.
It's no different than a mother allowing her son to sell drugs, knowing it's wrong, but as long as the money's coming in and he's not getting busted, you're fine. But as soon as your name is tied and he makes you look bad when he gets in trouble, now you want to turn your back on him. That's what women do.
Yeah.
That's what some women do. I won't say all, but that's what some women do. Some women will take what they feel and what they emotionally want, and they'll put everything, it doesn't matter what's right or wrong. When it comes to some females, women's needs, what they think their needs are, but they're actually high-level wants, there's nothing to deter them.
Nothing.
There's nothing to deter them. There's no common grounds, no common sense, no common reasoning. I want what I want, and I want it now. That's a child.
That's exactly what that is.
That is a child, and most LGBTQ people are acting out because they are children. You're acting as if children. I want my way. I want my way. I want my way. That's a child.
Yeah, I'll stamp my feet and scream.
Yeah, until you do it.
That's right. That's a juvenile response.
And there's no reasoning to a child.
Yeah, like that one woman who got turned into a famous meme because she sat there and they said, introducing Donald J. Trump, and she just sits there and screams like a little two-year-old. Yeah! Well, wow, when did babies get to vote?
Well, have you seen, okay, did you see Tyler, the Creator? At the, I guess it was the last Music Awards of some sort. Grammy.
No, I didn't. I don't watch any of that.
I don't watch it either, you know. I just happened to see it on the internet. He went on stage, and he didn't make these same sounds, but it was something like this. And everybody in the audience is acting like some music. They rocking like some music is going on, right? And I'm like, am I freaking crazy?
No, they've reached the point where they can tell you anything and you're supposed to just buy it. Look at the shit on the Paris runways that is supposed to be fashion.
With the pants all the way up to your neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
You want to see what's going to be on your next Paris runways? Go look at what the rednecks are wearing now. Because whether people want to admit it or not, there's been a whole bunch of fashion trends that have come from people that everybody likes to denigrate, the rednecks. Look at the flannel shirts. That came from the rednecks. Look at the ripped-up jeans. Our ripped-up jeans were earned because they were hand-me-downs, not something that you went and bought with holes already in it. That came from rednecks.
Well, let me prove something to you now. That came from poor people because I wear the same thing.
All right, poor people. Rednecks, poor people.
But that's what it was proven to. This is a proven set right here, y'all. Rednecks and brothers. We're not arguing, y'all. We're trying to tell you that we're just alike. That's all we're saying.
Yeah, and you are correct. You are correct. And it's funny, though, because poor people drove around rusty cars, and they were called poor peoples and dumbasses. But when you make a rusty car new, it's considered a rat rod or patinaed and all this other shit.
Or so it's called a collectible.
Yeah, yeah. So what they have taken is they told you that people were uncool. They stole their ideas. They made money off of it, and they're trying to say now because they like it, you must like it. Again, it's the ultimate, we're going to make you like something, and then everybody goes, oh, okay, so taking it in the butt's cool now, so I'll like that. That's where they're at.
Yeah. Fishermen, see, I was going to tell you that. See, I fish, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people that fish, you'll see them in the flannel clothes that they hunt. Because these are what I call fishermen and hunters outfits.
Yeah, they're warm.
They're warm. They make sense. The overalls, I wore overalls not first because they were stylish, because they were fishing overalls because they were warm. That's what most cover up. They were either protecting or warm. Then they became fashion.
Oh, yeah, the whole onesie thing that everybody wants to make fun of now. Back in the old days, that's what they wore out in the shop was a big one-piece work suit because it trapped all your heat and didn't leave a place for air blowing around your waist.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying. Everything that we use, they call it fashion now because, okay, they made a jacket like the hunter jackets or the plaid jackets, but they had some of them was when you hunt rabbits and squirrels, they had rabbits and squirrel pockets.
Yeah,
and it protected where the blood wouldn't get in the snip. If they had a liner in it, they protected it from blood getting in the, you know what I'm saying, on you. But it was a pocket for you to collect your squirrel and rabbit. With like a little plastic liner in it or something.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
This is what they created fashion. Timberlands, I wore them for winter time for ice fishing and stuff like that. And they had Timberland was one of the select boots. It wasn't the top, but it was one of the winter boots.
Yes.
Okay. But then I all of a sudden, the same winter boots I was wearing as a kid later on became fashion when I came older.
Yeah, and then they jacked the price for the exact same product, and everybody bellied up to pay overprice for a boot that was already there.
Yeah. And that's why, and see, like when somebody say, man, you see the new Jordans that came out? I say, yeah, I could never pay for them because I'm used to the $30 Jordans, $29. I'm used to the cheap Jordans. I wore all of them when they first came out, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the whole funny thing. They take something, they turn it into a fad, they overcharge for it, and then they act like somehow there's some kind of fashionista.
Yeah. Man, you don't wear Jordans, man. I'm like, man, I threw away all those shoes, okay? I threw them away. I wish I had collected them and known that you could send them back and then redo the soul. See, we didn't learn all the rules of the extras. We were just happy that we had some shoes. We didn't. And then once you start reading the rules, then you start learning that it's different than what you had paid into. You could have gotten free soles and all this stuff, but you didn't know this.
Exactly. See, that's the whole thing. It's just, and also, a watch, a $40 watch tells the exact same thing, time as a $40,000 watch.
Yes. Yes.
They just suckering you because that $40,000 watch didn't cost no $20,000 to manufacture. It probably damn near cost probably, if anything, $50, maybe $100 if you had diamonds in it.
Yeah.
It's just like there's so many different products that are coming out. Like the iPhone, that one guy goes, you know how much it costs to make an iPhone? And then everybody goes, no. And he goes, $5. So $5 to make an iPhone, and they sell it to you for $1,100. And
yeah,
you belly up to the bar and buy it. And you don't even count that. Because, see, forget dollars, folks. Think how much of your life you got to work for that one thing.
How many hours does it take for you to pay for that phone?
Yeah.
How many working man hours does it take for you to pay for that phone? And how dumb do you have to be to be dumbed down to see that your man hours count as nothing?
Right. Nobody thinks about that. They just think of the dollar, but they don't think of how long they had to work to get that dollar.
What type of labor it took for you to earn that dollar.
Yeah. And see, that's the other thing. When you earn something, you respect it more. When it's given to you, you don't, because you didn't have to earn it.
True. So
nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. But it's the truth. I saw some stuff. I was browsing the news this morning, and here's something that you're going to find interesting.
Okay.
The headline is, there's a mysterious epidemic of stomach cancer in young people. A mysterious epidemic of cancer in young people that just showed up.
No. I wonder, ain't that a winky dinky?
Yeah, I mean, what has changed in the past 3 years?
They were different than any other years before those past, before those present 3 years. What was different?
Can anybody help us? Because I'm at a loss of what has changed in the past 3 years that over half of America has taken part of, and most of those being young people that had no fear from what they were taking the vaccine for.
Yeah, we were telling them, if they already can build antibodies, why would a child need to take the vaccine? Well, it's because we're going to protect the old and the young. Well, the young are already protected by nature.
Right.
We're trying to alter the young's reception.
Yeah. And also now they're admitting that there's an outbreak of AIDS from people who've been vaccinated. It's called vaccine-induced AIDS.
Yes. Listen, man, look, man, I know a lady, right, I talked to recently, and she did not want to take the vaccine. She's a nurse, right? She didn't want to take
right.
the vaccine. But she fought to the last minute. Well, she really fought and fought. She said, well, I got to keep my job. So when it came to the booster, they all stood up and then had to take the booster because everybody got ill from the first shot. But they could have stood up with the first shot and held out. If there's nobody to work in the hospital, they ain't going to fire everybody. But they have you in fear. But since then, the lady has had a hysterectomy within the last 2 years. The next year, she had to have a hysterectomy. She's never had female problems or anything. She said, but now she's having blood issues, female problems, everything, ever since she had the shot, ever since she got that thing.
Yeah. Well, here's one. I was just sitting here, you know, rifling through the headlines like I do. Wrestling legend Big Jack dies at age of 58. He just died. No health issues, just died.
Yep.
This is a common occurrence. It is so common now for young people to drop dead that the life expectancy of Americans has dropped 2 years in the past 3 years. So what has changed to change our life expectancy in the past 3 years?
Has it been the weather?
And it's really funny because...
Is it sports?
Huh?
I wonder, is it sports? What's changed?
It's really funny because I post these deaths and people are like sending me private messages. They're like, oh, you shouldn't talk about like that. You have no proof. What proof do you need?
Stupid.
Seriously. Everybody had a life expectancy of 72. The Rona shows up. Life expectancy stays the same. The Rona's here. Everybody's not dying from it. They predicted 2.25 million dead in the first 3 months, and they didn't even hit 100,000. It took them years to get to even a million. Yet, we were told the vaccine was safe, and now VAERS is shut down. They won't acknowledge anybody's report against it. Coroners are pulling out these long stringy things from dead people that they never pulled out before. Cancers are on a super straight shot rise. They are turbocharged. Yet you can't say one thing that's changed in the past 4 years that could be related, because correlation does not equal causation.
But Dan, only thing I'm telling you is the only thing that you need to realize is that you don't need any of this information because Jesus is going to save you. Don't worry about a thing. Don't you put this all in Jesus' hands and you take that vaccine. Yes, you do. I'm like, listen, if Jesus is what it is, then why would you ever take a vaccine? I'm done. If God is in your life and God, well, why would you turn your sleeve up for the government? I'm done.
Truth?
I'm done.
Hey, I ain't had a vaccine since I was in grade school.
Yeah.
I haven't. And that's what I tell people. I trust my body. My body was created out of this to stand up to diseases. And then when the sun gets too hot, my skin's designed to turn itself dark so I don't burn.
If you didn't get me with a vaccine that you were going to get me with in two branches of the military, you're not going to get me now. I've been vaccinated from the age of 18 to 19 years old, more than anyone could ever imagine, because I was in the Air Force and the Navy, went through two different boot camps. So I know I've had a minimum 12 different vaccinations. I've been to a war and back. That was a whole nother set of vaccinations. So how the hell are you going to trick me into another set of vaccinations and I'm out of the service? And I've already been dumb enough to do it long before anybody was tricked into them? You ain't going to trick me again?
No. Well, you were forced. That's what I'm saying. Being forced is wrong. Whatever happened to my body, my choice? Does that only work when you're killing a baby?
Because if you're going to use
my body, my choice as a defense, then I should be able to use that for shooting up heroin.
No, my body
should be
is
able
my
to use,
choice.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Mm-mm.
If this is the argument we're going to stand on,
yeah,
then you shouldn't be able to say anything about me.
At all.
At all. But that's what we're using it.
Now that's only when women and the LGWHQ does. They're the only ones that have those rights.
Right. Everybody else doesn't.
No. That only comes with choice of male and female between a woman wanting rights and a homosexual wanting rights. Nothing else counts.
That's right. Straight males certainly do not count.
We got for nothing. We don't even have a straight male doesn't have a fight.
We can't be proud. We can't have a group.
You can't speak up. You can't be masculine without being toxic, and you can't make a decision without being narcissistic.
Right. And everything you do is gaslighting.
Everything you do.
Everything you do. You're gaslighting. Yet, you look back at all the things, look around you, all the things that people enjoy, houses, electricity, all the stuff that requires hard work is 99% males and 1% butch females.
Yeah, anything that a woman wants to fight for has AC.
They don't want to fight for the construction zone. You don't see them driving by a construction zone and going, there's not a proper representation of women out there sweating in the sun on a hot roof. You don't hear that argument. You don't hear the argument, there's not enough women on the fishing boats. We need more women on the fishing boats. You don't hear any of those arguments. Every one of their arguments is on the top position jobs that those people earned their way up to.
Yeah. Women want them right now.
Right.
No school, no training, no nothing. I want to be there.
I want to be the construction supervisor.
Have you ever constructed anything? No, but it doesn't look that hard.
Right. I learned it in school.
I
don't know. Do you ever watch Deadliest Catch?
Yeah.
You know Sig, the Norwegian dude.
Yeah.
Has his own boat. He brought his daughter on and put her on as a deckhand. She got her ass handed to her as a deckhand, and so he immediately promoted her into the wheelhouse.
Yeah, because if not, you are the killer at sea.
Right. So without putting in the work that normally gets you the captain's job, simply for being female, she was promoted past all of the years of hard labor to be in charge where she has not the knowledge to be in charge.
But the power to be a dictator.
Right. And women are discriminated against. Yet they can go do what a man would never be allowed to do.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's some discrimination right there. We're just trying to keep them down. That's what we're trying to do. And then whenever they have any trouble with a guy they get mouthy with, they get on the phone, they call another man to come confront the man that's about ready to whip their ass.
Yeah, that's it. Women are in, I can't explain it. I call it wine to win.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's doing right now. They've actually sat down and just said, well, we'll just give them jobs and just shut them up. And look how that's working for Boeing.
Yeah.
There's no quality control. There's no guy. People, they had a whole team. That remember the door that blew off that one was created by a whole team of women.
It's a team of women and put them on an obstacle course to work as a SWAT team. So they took six women through the SWAT team, exhibition and things. They're supposed to, they made it through most of it, and then they had to rappel against this wall, across this water, right?
Yep.
The first woman jumped on, and she rappelled. She threw her body right on and came all the way across. The second woman came on, she got stuck in the middle, and all the women got stuck right there where she was at.
Yeah.
The first woman had to come all the way back around to try to help them, then they all ended up falling in the water together, which means whoever they were coming to rescue are dead.
Right.
Lucky this is just an exercise. They had an exercise full of firefighting women, and they said, we can do this. They started the fire, which they've done all the time. The women lost control of the scenario. They ended up having to evacuate one side of a town because it started a forest fire that spread and burned down three houses.
Well, also don't forget that during training, women firefighters work with a 110-pound dummy, while the male firefighters work with a 180-pound dummy. I weigh 180 pounds, so if I'm in a fire, who do I want to come try carry me out? Somebody who's never lifted that or somebody who lifts it as part of their training?
Thank you.
And also, don't forget the Marines did an actual study of mixed combat units against all male units, and in every single category, they underperformed the all male because we grew up in a day and age, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Oh, I have a better scenario for you, okay, that will keep them from ever reaching that level. Have the test of a lady talk to you on the phone. And can you talk to me on the phone a half hour without being distracted? That's all I'm saying. Can you talk to me on the phone a half hour without being distracted? Will you have to go do something and fiddle around? Will you have to look on the Internet while you're talking to me and miss half the stuff I'm telling you because you're more interested in the Internet than talking to me? Are you reading something while you're talking to me? Are you watching TV while you're talking to me? Are you looking at texts from your girlfriend while you're talking to me? Are you looking at sales on your phone while you're talking to me? Are you looking at discount coupons while you're talking to me? Are you trying to find sales at the grocery store while you're talking? When you're talking to a lady, you're on the phone with her. She has your undivided attention.
Right.
She has your undivided attention because when you call her with the intentions to talking to her, hoping that she will talk to you. Women do not give the male the same respect communication-wise that he gives her, period.
And see, I can hear him now. You guys are just bashing women. No, we came from a day and age where women were respected.
No, we're doing the same thing you do. We have an opinion about who you are. You have an opinion about who we are. You can't take our opinion. We have to eat your shit.
Right.
Period. Women don't even listen to our opinion. Every time we say something, before you will answer what we are talking about, you're going to go into a defensive stance.
Yeah.
No.
You're not going to hear.
No, fuck your defense. Do you hear what the fuck I'm saying to your hard head, trifling ass? This is what they don't understand. Do you hear the fuck I'm saying to your hard head, trifling, non-paying attention, babbling ass? Do you hear me? This is why women have a problem being a part of things, because when we're listening to instructions, they talking.
Yeah.
Very few ladies now can sit down and listen to a full set of instructions without number one, having an objection, and number two, trying to put in your goddamn 2 cents.
You ain't wrong.
Period.
Again.
They try to change everything to adjust to them instead of fitting in with society. And that's what's wrong with the LGBTQ people now. You want everybody to adjust to your pronouns and your definitions and your ways. Who the fuck are you to think you're so important you're going to change my natural order of my life to bring your goofball ass over here and tell me, well, you're not respecting my pronoun? How about I go upside your fucking head and not respect you, period? I'm a male. Get your ass on and talk to one of them betas. How about I beat your ass? This is my only answer for you. I'm not no woman. You don't talk to me like that. I kick ass. Women have definitions. I kick ass. Now, you better get your little, whatever your ass, your little frisky ass over there because I kick ass. I don't have time for this. Go over to a lady and get her feelings and emotion-driven ass into your bullshit. I'm not filled with feelings and emotions. When you have a male that's filled with feelings and emotions, he's assisted.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that, Herman.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to hear that we are two separate people. Our minds operate different. Our bodies operate different. That doesn't make one above the other. It makes them completely 100% different. And when you try to make everybody the same is when the real shit starts, because to make everybody the same, you must demand they be the same, and they can't make their choice like you got to make your choice.
If you are the same as me, when we get ready to make history, you grab that X, I grab that X, and let's see who can cut down this tree.
Yeah.
If you can't cut down this tree with me, then get your ass over here and follow me. Because I'm the one that's going to keep you warm. I'm the one that's going to keep you safe. I'm the one that's going to keep you fed. I'm going to make sure you ate. So don't tell me what you think I should fucking do, lady. I'm busting my ass every day to make sure you're okay. I'm busting my ass every day to make sure things don't get in your way. I'm trying to satisfy your feed and your need. But the problem is your goddamn greed. That's the problem. You can never satisfy them. They have an insatiable hunger for being in control, an insatiable hunger. You cannot understand what it is, man. You cannot figure an insatiable, out-of-control hunger that has no true meaning, the definition, rhyme, or reason. It's just because.
Just because is the biggest truth out there.
We men don't do things because. We do things that have purpose. Only people that got time on their hands can do shit because.
Yeah. That's where a strong society of men creating a great society creates weak men, because they have time to do shit besides just try to survive.
You know what the problem is with most people right now? They have idle minds, and an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
There's a reason that saying exists.
There's a reason. You don't want to fit into things that are necessary. We're in a world of people fitting into their ideals. This is not a truth. This is not a fact world. This is an ideal world. And ideal worlds, they don't last.
No. Look at Rome. We're in the exact same place Rome was before they fell. Endless debt, endless wars, gender confusion, sexual depravity. We're there.
Anytime a man is not thinking about rebuilding his land, but the only thing on his mind is another dick in his hand, we are at war.
Yeah.
We are at war. This man is not talking about finishing and flourishing the land. This man is dreaming of marshmallows and rainbows and dicks in his hand. That ain't no man, damn it. We can never stand when we got men that walk around dreaming of dicks in their hand. Not a hammer, not an axe. Ain't no man ever built shit chasing no dick but Hollywood. You will never make anything useful. Them men in Rome sat around and watched men work while they had on their little mini skirts and tutus. They clap their hands and they get rid of their queens. And then they call the young boys in with them bare chests and really getting their scene. You know what I mean? Because that was the king's thing. Hey, the king like ding-a-ling. Hear ye, king like ding-a-ling. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what they like. Kings are might like Puff Daddy and T.D. Jakes. They like, they like them kings. Kings like ding-a-ling. That's what I just found out about kings. Kings like ding-a-ling. Uh-huh. And who they say, and I'm not being mean. People going to get mad when I say this, but I got to say this. Take me to the king. I don't have much to bring. They talking about Jesus. My heart is torn to pieces. Here's my offering. Number one, why am I offering something to Jesus? He's the son. Okay? Why am I drinking blood and eating a cracker, meaning the body? So that means I'm a goddamn, what do you mean? I'm a
cannibal.
A cannibal? So serving Jesus and the Lord God, you get into cannibalism, and then it's like you're drinking blood, so what, you a vampire? And then when you see Baal, the goat, and his sign, go look up Jesus is the morning star and the light. Satan is the morning star of the light. And when you see Baal hand signal, Jesus has that same hand signal. So that means Jesus is Satan, according to Rome. Now, if you follow in the Roman Catholic Jesus, that's Satan. Because the greatest thing Satan did was to make you think he didn't exist to serve him. You're serving Jesus is Satan. Look at the, I ain't talking about what it is. Look at the results. To hell with what they're saying and what we follow. Look at the results of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
The more Jesus you got, the poorer you are. The more Jesus you got, the more damage in your neighborhood. The more Jesus you got, the more crack, heroin, and prostitution and molestation in your area. The more Jesus you got, the more false prophets and no money you have in your neighborhoods. The more Jesus you got, the more programmed people you have with welfare and food stamps and all this bullshit, the more Jesus you got. That's why they want you to say something about the name Jesus. It is the greatest name. No, something about the name Jesus. They know that it will keep you poor. Oh, Jesus will keep you poor and have no money in your pocket because you want to donate all your money to Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord Jesus, every Sunday, man, $250 million. This is just in the black community. Goes to Jesus and the Lord Christ every Sunday. We give away $250 million. Every month we give $1 billion. To the Lord God Jesus, but we're getting welfare from the Democrats. Why? Why?
And here's the angle I want to put on this for people listening. Herman and I both believe in an afterlife.
Yeah.
But we don't believe in the man-made religions.
No. No.
See, that's, no. That's what they do. See, people can't buy that. Well, you're not a Christian. No, I'm not any of those. I believe in a God, but I don't believe in your interpretation of God.
I don't believe in no God outside of me. It ain't no God outside of you. You were created from something within. This flesh was placed around something. What makes you function ain't this flesh. Okay? So what makes you function had to be here before the flesh.
Right. And the thing that makes you function is that flash of light that occurs in inception. That's the spark of you coming from wherever there is in the afterlife.
So that means if God says, if there's a conversation said, I am made in the liking of God, right? So that
yep.
means that I am God in my own experience.
True.
Every individual is God in their own experience.
And then your life is filled from experiences that will make you the person you end up being when you're older.
Yes. I believe in a God in me, not a God in the sky, not a God in the ground. Okay? Everything that happens manifests from inside. And then it generates. Then you project it outwardly, and you see it manifest itself as a creation. But it came from inside.
Yeah.
Inside. Just like the Matrix, man, I keep telling people, this world that you're in, your temple is your world. This is your world. This is your paradise. This is your peace or your hell. When you look at the Matrix, think about this. Think about Zion as being you. And think about those sentinels as being everything that's trying to attack you. Drugs, alcohol, politics, welfare, sickness. Those are the sentinels. How do you protect your Zion from the sentinels of this world? How do you protect your peace? How do you protect your joy from all of these outside substances that are trying to destroy your inner world? How do you protect yourself?
And that's where you grow.
Yes.
So I'm gonna break in here real quick because we're already way past the time.
Man, and we're going. This is a good one, Brandon. Go ahead and get that in, cause I'm full today. I feel it, man. Go ahead.
Cause I know it'll be. Oh, we got a message from people listening, and they said we're on point and that we're doing great. So we know some people out there hearing us and going, damn, they smacking it down today.
Yes, sir.
But we're going to run these commercials so we get them out of the way. We can run the last little bit of the show like we normally do. But we got to have some words from our sponsors. So hang on. We will be right back.
Yeah.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marti.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marti.com. Marti.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marti.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marti.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marti.com.
All right, we're back. We got those out of the way. And, yeah, it's really something, man, what we were talking about.
Yeah, it is something, because I'm going to tell you, Dan, when we take the attitude that everyone is taking control has, we will better position ourselves. Because
yes,
you have to stop giving a damn about what someone thinks about you. See, caring people, our main weakness is
We care what people think. We care what people say. When you're an individual that gets out of caring what people say and think because you know you're doing the right thing, you will then be able to be successful. Then and only then. You have to stop. What people think about you does not matter. What you've come to do, if you're confident enough in oneself, that what you've come to do represents you. And you can shut down people who don't mean you well, meaning people have advice and everything. I hear you, but it's not good for you. When you understand that within yourself and comfort within you, you will then seek success within your life. Other than that, you're always going to be a puppet for adjustments for other people because you care emotionally within your psyche or your social grievances are, you care how people feel about you. You got to get rid of that. Yeah. You got to get rid of that. It doesn't matter. Period.
It's like this. You and I both have had beliefs that go completely counter to society in many different places. When people look for somebody strong, they come to us.
Exactly.
Then why is that?
Because you've already proven that you can be, you're already doable, proven, and strong. You've already proven that it can be done.
That's right. We show them that we don't listen to an outside influence. It's like, how long has marijuana been illegal? And we've been told that it's just as bad as this. And now that you can finally say you smoke pot in many places, over half of the country, and you don't have to be in a closet, you know, we now get our rights. They asked these doctors at the Cleveland Clinic to rank alcohol, tobacco, and pot in the order of damage. And they all put alcohol and tobacco way above marijuana.
Of course.
Yet we have been told by the government that one is so bad for us when it's the cheap cure for skin cancers, all types of different cancers, anxiety, pain. The only problem is you can't make billions off of selling something cheap to somebody like our drug companies are doing right now. With a prescription can set you back $3,000 a month.
It can't be regulated.
Right. Because you can grow your own medicine. And God forbid you be without need of the industrial pill complex. I heard a statistic the other day. It says over half of America is taking more than 4 prescriptions a day.
For anxiety. See, this is the main thing. Reasoning is the main purpose in everything that you're saying. Reasoning. The reason why I take prescriptions, the reason why I take drink alcohol, the reason why I do cocaine, you're stressed.
Yeah.
Weed is only there 9 times out of 10 to relax you.
Yeah.
For you to chill. For you to get yourself together, for you to gather yourself, can you dig it?
Exactly.
Marijuana makes you want to either soothe or chill out.
Yeah.
Period. You don't smoke weed and want to fight. Huh. I never smoked a joint and said, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. No, I smoked the weed and said, you know what, it ain't even worth talking to you.
That's right.
You know?
That's how you learn to forget it. You just say, I'm going to just sit here and the world can do what the world's going to do.
Yeah, if I was drinking some gin, I'm gonna punch you in your face.
Right. Hey, I've been out in Colorado. They have bars that serve nothing but pot because you're not allowed to sell alcohol and pot in the same bar. I know that's weird, but that's Colorado. And the bars that sell marijuana, there's not a single bouncer.
Oh.
And the bars that sell alcohol, there's a bouncer at the door and a bouncer in each corner because alcohol makes people aggressive.
Yes, alcohol is a spirit.
Yes.
It's spirits in a bottle.
Yes, there is.
And they tell you to pick your poison.
Exactly. They say it to your face and you still ignore it.
Pick your poison. Pick your poison. And then you can read about the spirit on the bottle. It'll tell you what it's going to do to you.
I haven't drank in 12 years, Herman. 12 years. And in those 12 years, I have not woke up not knowing where I'm at. I have not been someplace and blacked out where I didn't know what I was doing. I haven't felt like ass in the morning. I don't have to deal with all kinds of shakes if I don't drink enough. And the best thing I ever did in my life was getting rid of alcohol completely.
Yeah. It was a part of my, alcohol was like a wallet, like me having my wallet, honestly, at one time in my life. I had to have alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic per se from a drunk perspective, but I could buy a half gallon of liquor on a Friday, and it was gone by Sunday, and there's nobody there but me.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been drunk, but I've been feeling, how do you say, I was feeling not.
Yeah. But when I was drinking, my temper was, you could light that bitch off easy.
Woo.
You say one wrong thing and my temper went to 100.
That's why I didn't really carry guns as much during my drinking times. Once I left Gary, Indiana, I stopped carrying a gun all the time because I was nice. My temper was too. I'm nice. I was nice enough in my hands. I didn't want to take it too far. I wanted to be in control. Why? Because a gun will let me know, hey, I can do what I want to do to you.
Oh yeah.
And with alcohol, that's not a safe position to be in.
No, absolutely not. And that's the whole thing. I figured that out at some point in my life. I quit. Look, because society makes, you go into a bar and don't drink, people look at you like there's something wrong with you.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a strong person to walk into a bar and not drink.
Because if you're not drinking, they're wondering why you're in here, because you're an outsider.
Exactly. Come on, be part of our cult. Let's get some poison in your body so that you can loosen up. I don't need poison to loosen up. I'm a loose guy.
Give you some of this truth serum.
Right.
And you know how, and the thing is, like somebody says, there's a calculation, but we don't know how to calculate it yet. But when it comes to wine, beer, and alcohol, there's a formula. We just don't know it. Because that's the reason why they give you 80% proof in, you know, from 60 to 80 proof in liquor. Beer goes from like 3 to 12, 14%. Wine goes from anywhere from 12 to 10 to 30%, 25%. There's a formula to this. There's a formula to that calculation of spirits. I don't know what it is, but anytime you see numbers like that, they're not there for nothing.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And moonshine is up over 100.
So that means you lose total control.
Oh, yeah.
At one time or another, when you got alcohol and you reach 100%, I don't know this for sure, but I would think this is the time where they call demonic spirits can enter you and something can take you over and you go do something and not remember it when you wake up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I can tell you, there's been nights that I've come to driving behind the steering wheel.
Yeah. Yes.
And not know where I was at.
Yes, 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 man.
And that is so dangerous in so many ways.
I woke up with a cop tapping on my glass, right?
Yeah.
He was tapping on my glass. My foot was on my brake, not in park. I was at the light.
Wow.
When I looked at my clock, I know my clock. I looked at it was about 2:30 in the morning when I looked at my clock from that haze I was in. When that cop tapped on my window and I looked up and it was almost light outside and it was like 4:30, almost 5 o'clock in the morning, I had been sitting there with my foot on the brake that long and nobody had did anything.
Right.
And then the cop woke me up and I looked and I didn't know where I was at. And I put my foot, I took my foot off, I took put my foot in, I put it in, automatically put it in park. And I rolled my window down. He said, sir, do you know you've been here? I said, no, I'm not aware. You know, I'm very tired from working. And he said, okay, because he didn't smell alcohol or nothing on me. He said, okay. And that's what I was. I was exhausted. I was exhausted. I've been doing too many comedy shows, back to back to back, and working and doing things. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Just fell asleep. I guess I've been drinking some earlier. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it relaxed me into a slumber.
Yeah. Yeah. It's And that's, there's never been a time, no matter how much pot I've smoked, that I lost control of me. Never.
You're right.
Never.
Never. You know what? The only time that marijuana has done anything to me, it made me stop smoking it. Marijuana will make you quit. You'll get so tired or to a point where you can't smoke.
Yeah.
You got to recharge in order to smoke.
Yeah, reboot yourself.
You got to reboot yourself, and your body tells you that, and it won't allow you to smoke. Alcohol, there's no stop button.
No, its answer is more. That's always the alcohol answer, more. Well, I'm feeling bad. Well, drink more. I felt bad in the morning. Well, drink more. You want hair of the dog. Where's the hair of the dog phrase come from? You know, if you're feeling bad, drink what you was drinking the night before. Alcohol is about excess. That's what alcohol is about, is excess.
Alcohol is about being straight ignorant.
Yeah.
It is. It's straight ignorance. You're killing yourself. You're poisoning yourself. And you're poisoning yourself more to say, let's poison myself some more.
But the funny thing is, our younger selves could not be told that.
That's why
age is where the knowledge comes from, because you learn more personally than what you've been told. Because what you're told on TV is if you drink alcohol, you and your friends are going to have a wonderful time. You're going to enjoy each other. It's going to be fantastic. They don't tell you you're going to be puking by a dumpster in the middle of the night.
Oh, no. Because they start off, here's the good friends. Tonight is kind of special. They ain't telling you you're going to meet Earl tonight.
Right. They didn't tell you you'd be on your knees in front of a toilet with your face where you wouldn't put your ass.
Oh, that was funny, man.
And that's the honest to God truth. How many times have you been in a bathroom that you didn't even want to touch the floor, and you're sitting down on it like it's a couch, and you're hugging that toilet like it's your favorite pillow? Where other people have put their ass, where other people have pissed on the rim, and you're at the point where you don't even care.
You got that face in that toilet bowl like it's a pair of big titties. I mean, you got it.
You're in ball dangle range. But you can't tell young people this because they don't get it.
Man, oh, man, they don't get it until they hear that sound.
And
there's nothing in your stomach left. There's nothing. It's a dry heave, and you're throwing up your gut. Oh.
Yeah. And then you wake up the next day and feel like a truck hit you and call everybody and go, man, we had a good time last night.
We were fucked up.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to say this. I am not for making alcohol illegal because people have to learn on their own. That's what you're here for. This is a big learning experience. And you learn as you go through life. And I hear people go, I'm the exact same at 60 as I was as a teenager. Well, then you missed the entire purpose. You're ignorant. Yeah. You were supposed to learn. You were supposed to grow. You were supposed to change. You're supposed to be proud of yourself and not some derelict drunk who puts his face in shitty toilets and pukes every night of the week.
Yeah, the revolution is evolution.
Exactly.
We should be evolving to a point of a personal space of joy and happiness, and you bond with all of your experiences to it becomes a point of a zone of getting to know yourself and leave all the dimension of no mind where you're not into your thoughts of being the negative and this, that, and that. You've learned from these things already. You found purpose within self. And then you begin to actually live within this life.
And spread that message to people around you.
Yes.
Don't wait for retirement. Live.
Right. Live.
Don't wait to a date that they give you. Live. Don't wait to an assigned purpose or whatever. Live.
Right.
Live.
Well, really, I'm not a big fan of Michael Moore. I'm not a big fan of his. But at the same time, I think it was, he did one about gun control. And what he talked about was how we're told all the time to be fearful and all this other shit. And then he asked people in your life, you personally, how many times have you experienced something bad? And most people's answer is, I never did.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they've had you living your whole life in paranoia for things that are really rarities, and then you change your whole life based on a whole set of paranoias.
And then people who have actually experienced these things that people see as paranoias are special people.
Yes. They're not the norm.
They're not the norm. But if everybody's telling their imaginary stories to be greater than things that people have actually experienced, then we're living in the world of the boy who cried wolf. This is why you can't get examples of actualities, because we're spending so many times listening to people's fantasies. And boom.
You know how many end-of-the-world situations I've lived through?
Yes, I understand.
You were there in 1999 when it rolled over into 2000. It's going to be the end of the world. Turn your computer off. Make sure you're safe. Everybody should have food and water. Everything. And then you woke up the next morning and everything was fine.
But see, people don't understand, man. This is it, man. What they're talking about with change is not anything physical. The changes that they're talking about, he said, okay, like I was telling you, when Prince played 1999, the song.
Yep.
If you understand that was the first song where I understood about reverse language. Okay? That's when the first time I started looking into reverse language through music. And everybody was playing 2000 Party Over, It's Out of Time. Tonight we're going to party like it's 1999. When you flip that over and you roll it back, it's the wind blowing. Ooh, yeah. And it says, and I know that the Lord is coming soon, coming soon, yeah, ha, 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 ha. So that's what it said backwards. So in 2000 Party Over, I mean, 1999, he was just saying the Lord is coming soon. That's the whole definition if you play it backwards. The Lord is coming soon. That's what it plays over and over again backwards.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what he plays over and over. So everything that we're saying, 9 times out of 10, that everybody's speaking of a physical change is actually talking about a spiritual change, which means anybody that are ego-driven within this solace of what we're doing cannot see what is happening, and only people that are consciously connected can see what's happening.
And then that ties into the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're saying it's the end of the world. Everybody's freaking out. I understand that. But they're also saying that if it did happen with the 3 days of darkness when the sun came back, it would be called, what, the golden age?
Yes.
And that's the age of enlightenment. And that's the age of where good takes over. And that's the age where people start thinking of their fellow man not as a person to make profit on, but as a person to become a friend with.
Okay, on the same thing as this eclipse. Somebody will be doing one of the worst things on earth. Someone will be doing thinking they'll be doing some of the best things on earth, but they're on the wrong track.
Yeah.
And then there's those who see. That's it.
Yeah.
There's far to the left, far to the right, and there's those who see. And the ones that see, people will never agree. Because the ones on the left want to draw you with them to be like them. And the ones that's over on the right are trying to convince you that this is the right answer to be like them.
Yes.
And anything that you have to say has no value to neither one of them.
Exactly.
It has no value to neither one of them because they cannot learn outside of being trained to be from the streets or trained to be from a culture of politics, college, and school.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
either one of those lanes, and one of these over here, the atheists over here, the ones that's giving up on everything, and over here to the right, you got atheists and the ones that's super, 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 super Christian and super, 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 super religious, but none of them are doing things right.
Right. Because if they've been doing things right and you're collecting $250 million a week, they could go right out into the community that they claim to care for and lift those people out of poverty.
Thank you. But instead, you got men running around and $750 million worth of your money talking about swallowing Puffy. I want you to swallow. See, a devil, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. And if you let somebody take your money and do ideal things with them, this one person, this one dude, he's taking all your money. And he's collectively taking your money, but you don't see a damn thing getting better. That's Satan. That is not the preacher. That is not the bishop. That is not the minister. That is the devil.
Right. And all these big megastars on TV,
yeah,
they all say, well, I've earned this. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You took it under a guise of giving somebody freedom.
Oh, they earned it through. They earned it. They earned it through their God. When they bend over as them little bitty stars on Hollywood, they earned it. But you try to think of who they earned it from.
Right. And so they got multi-million dollar houses while somebody who's poor gave them they're tithing.
What does it mean for a man that these men just gain the world to lose their soul? You gaining all this world to lose your soul. You gaining all this world. There ain't no story where, yo man, you know, man, Dan and Hearn was hanging out one day, man, and you know what I'm saying, next thing you know, they heard some homosexual. And what are y'all talking about? We don't have nothing to do with none of that.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is with us, what's great for Dan and I right now, what I love about what's going on with us right now, it's like it's perfect timing for people like us because we are what you call seasoned rookies. You can't get no better than this. And what I mean by seasoned rookies, you don't know nothing about us and what we do in our form and our style. People don't know nothing about a lot of these comics that have been dormant while everybody's taking their select few people.
Yes.
Okay? There's a world of people with some very, very intellectual minds, educational minds, and they're funny.
Yes.
Now, if you survive the exile of being kicked out from your Comedy Centrals and all of your main areas because it's so hard to get into SAG and you got to have the credentials. And I mean, I just want to do comedy.
That's all. That's my joy. That's my joy is seeing a room full of people laugh.
That's it.
It's a joy.
I didn't know that the comedy had become like the IRS where everybody made up these taxations and these requirements, right? And these are the people that are not really comedians.
Right. And they're making a fortune off of people out there dogging their road life. And they said, I always tell people, go look who has the money and you'll understand.
Thank you. You're
go in comedy and look who has the money. Look who has the big corporate offices and all these people. And then they don't even go to the gig and take more than the person who went to the gig got.
And see, people don't understand this too, man. Like when we be talking on, you got to check out our Q&A starting the first of the month coming up on Seven Spices. But it's like this, man. People don't realize the money that they can truly make in comedy by doing, by bringing things together.
Doing their own things.
We're in competition with one another. When you there's not enough station for everybody to be in competition. There's not enough foundation for everybody to be in competition. People have to pay attention to that. If I see a person like Dan, I'm going to give a perfect example. I see a person like Dan, and Dan is good at what he does. You find a room, okay? Dan always got to find a room, okay? Dan always does this self. But if you can find something for him to be able to do, and he can plug right into it and can do, and then he has help to be able to do, it's totally different than doing things all by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
when you get stuck by yourself, it's good, but damn, then people are all against you. Nobody wants to help you, but everybody's got an opinion about what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. They hate watching you be successful by yourself. And then when you plug into another person who's successful and you put your two successes together, you go way beyond where the individual could go.
Yes. You walk in the room and one person is a comedian. He says, I have some mics and some speakers and this is Bluetooth. And Dan says, I have all that too, but dang, I don't have to bring it out.
Right.
But now we got backup.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we got, that means we got a cameraman that does comedy. Dan and I does comedy. Hey, we got another guy in there that does comedy. So we got four comics rotating no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter
what. It creates a bigger thing. It's the same way, I know this is completely off tilt from that. It's the same way if one man goes into the woods to live by himself and he's a seasoned woodsman, he can live by himself. But if another seasoned woodman shows up and they both work together, both of their work got cut by 50% because each one of them now can contribute to what are the daily chores.
Perfect. Man, I don't know how you say that's awful. Man, perfect example, bro. What are you talking about, off kilter? That's perfect. See what I'm saying? And I call you out on that, saying it's perfect what you said, because this is the problem that we have within ourselves. When you said that, okay, you said, I know this is probably off. No, it's not. Okay, but if you have another partner to tell you, listen, man, it ain't off, then how are you going to stop that thinking?
Well, and then the other end of it is, we see, this is what I was talking about with that Fahrenheit thing.
Okay.
They've got everybody set in this opposition mind where that guy's just, the reason he hasn't killed me is because I didn't give him opportunity. The reason he hasn't robbed my house is I haven't given him the opportunity. We put that negative.
Think about that word
negative.
Opportunity. So now if you haven't given that opportunity negative, you turn opportunity into the word opposition. Feel that?
Yes.
With positivity, you take positivity and you have an opinion, it's just an opinion that can be growth from. But if you
right.
take it and turn it into negativity, that opinion becomes opposition. How dare you? See what I'm saying? That's
true.
That's just a matter
truth.
Of positive and negative are the same thing.
And see, that's why I'm trying to say, you and I look at each other. And we know each other, and so we know when the other person says something, it's never said in a negative light. It is a positive thing. To critique people used to be a good thing because that's how you learn. You learn when people will tell you things. But now it's considered hate. It instantly goes to hate. It's not hate. It's not hate to disagree with somebody, but we've been taught that everything is 100% headbutt opposition, and everybody who has an idea that's different than mine hates the United States, and everybody who has the same idea as mine loves the United States, when in fact, we both and all of us live in the same place. And so if it does well, it benefits all of us.
Just like I wouldn't let you walk outside with an eye booger in your eye without telling you, you're walking up and looking at a booger in your nose or
yeah.
something on your face, I would tell you. So if you say something that I know if you said in front of somebody else, it would make you look like maybe if I see it from myself, maybe that would make you look like you ain't as confident as you should be. I should be able to tell you that because it's just like me saying something's on your face. I won't want you to go out thinking that way because I can hear that as a friend, but I'm telling you, man, somebody else might hear that. And someone else
yeah.
might take advantage of that.
That's what we want people to do. That's the other thing. You never hear us say, think the way we think.
No.
You'll hear us a dozen times say, do your own research. Go look up what we're saying. Then think about what we're saying. Don't just throw it away. Think. Again, I told you about the NASA study where they studied children before school, and most of them had genius potential, but after they went through the programming of school, they didn't.
And the reason why is because they don't teach you this.
We live in a world of teaching everybody to have things in common, right?
Right.
Okay, but I will give you a comment. I'm gonna give you a common sense sequence. If that is the case, then why were we created as individuals? Okay? It's not what we have in common when we bring us together, but it's what makes us different that we can calmly work with that will make us great.
Yes.
It's our differences. It's how to understand our differences and respect our differences.
Okay. And that's exactly men and women. That's exactly men and women. We both have our own strengths, but nobody wants to live in their lane. They all want to be in each other's lane.
Well, see, men and women is different. A little bit, when I put it like this, a little bit different, it's like this. Men and women is like this, and women ain't going to like this. Okay? The only order it could be is a male is a male, and a female is a female. And the reason why I'm the head is because I can do things and be in a direction without feelings and emotions.
Yes.
Okay? And I can just plow ahead and get things done.
That's your strength.
And that's my strength. And tell my lady, you ain't got to worry about this. You take care of the nurturing things, and I want you to get a good feel, be within control of your emotions and what you do, because I got things to logically take care of.
And that makes us a stronger team.
That makes a stronger team. And when I come out of my logic, I need you to be in your senses of your feelings and control of your emotions so that I can get a good feel and bond with you and get some feel and emotion. This ain't my female side. I'm plugging into my female to be by her side. Her female feelings and emotions generate to me to give me a softness and give me a different value of how I should be able to be with her, how I should be to be managed with her, because outside of me touching her, I'm a killer. Outside of me touching her, I'm a destroyer. As I build now, I build, but to protect, I got to do some things, baby. And the reason why you ain't in the field with me, because you can't take what I got to see. You can't sleep at night with what I got to do. You can't function with what I got to make happen.
Exactly.
I don't want to make your part of my everyday living become your nightmares. So see, for me, it's what I was built to do. For you, you built to supply me with the comforts after I got to do what I got to do.
Yes.
That's how we work things out. Whether I'm mining, when I'm fielding, when I'm doing things. But remember, darling, there's a part of protection that's there. And if a female takes away your masculine ability, I will no longer be able to protect you. If you want your man to be okay to be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and the one to wear the dress, well, damn it, when it comes to war, you're going to be in a simple-ass mess. Because, women, if you think you can be just like a man, wait till your ass get in that field and you crawling through that mud, you got a goddamn gun in your hand. They say, get in that field, get them to tell you what to do. And I want to say a goddamn thing to you. And they say, shut your mouth or clear this fucking field.
Yes.
Then, woman, you know life is real. Because when you don't follow orders, now we're in war, I can shoot you on your damn head and kill. Running your mouth can get your ass in trouble if you don't follow order.
Yeah.
And women are totally out of order. You talking like y'all go to war. Have you ever heard a war damn story and it was a group of fucking women? Never. Stop talking stupid.
Yep.
You ain't never heard no goddamn war, and it was a group of women, and how we battled through the war, and we crawled through Vietnam. No, baby, because you didn't exist. You would have fell the fuck apart. First time a woman sees somebody's face get blown the fuck off in front of her, and she got teeth and fucking eyeballs on her chest, that woman going to lose her fucking mind. She's not built for that shit. We ain't either, but somehow we can survive it.
Yeah, we're told to suck it up.
Suck it up. Don't have no tears. You will be okay. This is for fighting. This is for fun. This is my rifle. This is my gun. I mean, man, you fucking crazy. Women can't even take us telling them, hey, baby, are you going to make up the bed? You can't take that shit. How you going to take somebody telling you ain't shit? Get on your knees and drop and give me 20. You stupid-ass, useless dummy. Did your mama send your ass being this damn ignorant? Did your daddy put his foot in your dumb ass? Women can't take that shit. If you got to go to boot camp, they can't take that shit.
I know. That's why it's changed.
Yeah,
they've changed it to make everybody softer. But they don't realize that the hard, you've got to be hard as nails to face a piece of wood. And that's what life is.
If women stop trying to be like men, they'd be so exciting. I mean, being real, they took the WNBA, for example, and just lowered the rim about a foot and a half so that women can dunk and do highlight stuff just like men, they would make money. But no,
yeah,
we don't want the rim down.
You know why? You know why? They couldn't find enough men who say they're women to play in the league.
Yeah. And then they got desperate.
They got desperate. They said, we got to do something to make it exciting.
They got to do, yes. And they just, Lord, man, and women just fighting for shit that don't make sense, man. The NBA, for them to function, the NBA loses $12 million a year for them to exist. And they talking about why women are not being paid the same amount as men in basketball. I don't even understand the conversation. I'm like, are women so fucking delusional that you can have a conversation that makes no absolute sense whatsoever, but you're going to still press the conversation. We should be paid as much as, okay, you want to be paid as much as Shaq, but don't nobody know who the hell you are. You don't have no shoe or nothing. And it, you know how long it took for the teams to come? You know what Michael Jordan didn't get paid, what Kobe didn't get paid?
No, I know.
And these dumbass women are trying to fight. I mean, I'm saying this for real. These dumbass, ignorant basketball women are trying to fight for money that your ass don't earn because you don't have the sponsors. Nobody's watching your ass.
But they feel that they should. It's the land of make-believe. I feel like I'm an NBA center. So you should call me. Call me Shaquille O'Neal. I didn't do anything to earn it. I can't do it. I can't be part of it, but I want you to call me that.
You know why?
Because I feel that way.
It's all one of the greatest things I understood when we started feeling certain ways was when we said, you ever heard of a unicorn, right?
Yeah.
What is a unicorn?
Horse with a horn.
A horse with
basically,
a horn.
That's basically it.
Now, you know, have you ever seen a horse with a horn?
No.
I've never seen one either, right?
Right.
So that means there's no flipping horse with a horn. Let me tell you what a goddamn unicorn is. Now, when you look up unicorn and you go from the biblical term of unicorn all the way to the English dictionary unicorn, a unicorn is a one-horned rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Versus a two-horned rhinoceros.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all a unicorn is. Now, how the hell they came up and made up a horse with a horn in the middle, I don't know what they did, but you know how I know it was made up by somebody in the Fruity Land? Because all of a sudden it was with the Reedy Rainbow, and there was rainbows around the horse, and then the horse had sparkles. So this is a part of the agenda.
I cannot say you're wrong.
Okay. It's a part of the agenda. So I'm gonna put this in my comedy show. I'm gonna put this on the air so it puts somebody still is, you know what I'm saying? So we can go back to this where I said it already.
Yeah.
When P. Diddy was blessed into the game of music, right?
Yep.
He had to be blessed by his bishop. Okay. Now his bishop is a power bottle. He's not an on copper. He's a bottom one. So he told Puff Daddy, he said, you get this. You get this. And Puffy was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, no, you tell me to take that. Take that. And then and Puff Daddy said, hit this. Take that, take that, take that, take that. So now every time you hear take that, take that, it's actually a ceremony. And he's actually shouting out or giving homage to his bishop, T.D. Jakes, because take that is T.D., T.D.
Wow.
Okay. This is all this ritual stuff is crazy, man.
The other thing, too, because a lot of people say, well, ritual stuff doesn't mean anything. No, it does.
It does.
It means a lot of things.
Yeah, when we got to think, when every time every man that has been banged in the butt by Puffy has been blessed by the Satanistic or evil of T.D. Jakes because he's been saying, take that, take that, take that, take that. And you got men all over the world. Puffy been doing take that since back then. And he was even on the show All That. And All That was a pedophile show.
Nickelodeon. Look at what's happened at Nickelodeon, dude.
It's a pedophile group.
It is everywhere. And when people are finally awakening up to it, it's a positive thing, and that's why you can't begin to wonder if the April 8th thing is real.
Well,
because we are seeing lies that have been there for years, and all of a sudden, because of free, unadulterated speech where you can say stuff, that's why First Amendment was free speech, we are seeing everything behind the curtain. The man behind the curtain is getting revealed.
Okay, remember last week we were talking about on Wednesday, I was telling them about Kami, and I was saying now, people can read stuff on their phone and remember stuff like that, but like you'll watch you do it, but you're totally different because you have so much inside of you that you program with Kami, you can just step up and do Kami anytime you feel like it, okay? They haven't learned that when I say there's a telekinesis when it comes to comedy, because you have to feel your audience.
Yes.
It's beyond just writing jokes.
Yes.
Okay. Just like us speaking on right now, in order for people to listen to us, they have to tune in and feel you. Okay. They have to tune in and receive you. I'll put it like that. Okay.
Yes.
And this is how it is when you connect to your audience as a comedian. They have to tune in to you and receive you. If they're not tuned into you to receive you, you're not receiving the laughs. And you can feel when you're not receiving what it is.
You're disconnected from the room.
Thank you.
See, that's the whole thing. And it's funny because I've said this 100 times. I love going into a comedy club even when I'm not performing. And what I do, I call it swimming in the energy of the room.
Yes.
And it's really funny because you remember that song Nights in White Satin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that band, one of the band members from there was talking on Art Bell. And Art Bell talks about all the stuff that we basically talked about years ago before it was even popular. And he goes, when you're on that stage and that rush of energy from the room hits you, you feel your batteries charge way up.
Yeah.
And then when you leave that show, you're on such a high from all that pure positive energy that was pumped into you. It takes time to come down. And that's real. That's real. Also, I do improvs. You know, I run improv shows. And one of the improv shows was to give people pieces of paper to just write a sentence on that we turned into an improv. The funny thing is, if you took the notes collected on one night and took them to another night, they never worked. But on the night they were written, there was a theme in the room, an unspoken theme that everybody who wrote down their sentence, who didn't know the person sitting next to them, all wrote on the same theme. How does that happen?
Wow. It's deep, man. Man, Nights in White Satin, man. That's crazy.
And it's really funny because when you think about that, there is a connectivity. When you get us in that room, there's a connectivity in that room. Like last week when I talked about rotary dial phones before the one guy showed up, and then he goes up and talks about rotary dial phones, something that ain't been around for how many years, but two people in the same room ended up on the same topic.
Yeah, bro, that telekinesis, bro. When you
That's
brought
a
up-
connection.
Look, man, Nights in White Satin, man. This says, Nights in White Satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say no more. I can't say anymore. Because I love you, yes, I love you, oh, how I love you. Gazing at people, some hand in hand. Just what I'm going through, they can't understand. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. That is dope, man.
And
that is dope.
And those guys talk about the energy of the crowd.
That is dope, man. That is real. That is the description. That is,
yes.
That is the description of the energy of the crowd, man.
Yes. That's why when he went on Art Bell and started talking, and he goes, I know this sounds mystical and all this other shit. And it didn't to me because I'd been in front of a crowd. I understood what he was talking about. There is an energy that is in the room, and you can feel it.
Yeah. You can feel it, man. And when you grab a hold to it, man, it's just like, you know, being yourself, you can just do so much with it. You know, people always say, you know, they need a boost or something to be able to go on stage. I don't need anything.
No,
I just need me, you know.
That's right.
I don't need no liquor. I don't need no high. I don't need nothing to be truthful that I ain't naturally doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
ain't going to get no higher than that.
Yeah, you can't get no higher than that, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. That's a drug. One of my comic buddies, his dad goes, what your problem is, you're hooked to the worst drug in the world. He goes, and you'll go anywhere and do anything to get it. And I know he meant that in a positive way, even though he said the worst drug in the world. There is something that drives the individual, and that people having joy is such a positive energy that it cannot be overcome inside you. Well, I hate to do this, but we're going to have to end this party wagon.
You ended the right way, man. That's beautiful, man.
If you notice that, even though we're what most people would consider being negative, because you're not allowed to talk things that are against what people are saying, and if you really listen to us, it's positive. We're telling you there's going to be negative things. That's the world. But your attitude to face it is 100% of the results.
And when we tell you truthfully and square biz, whether they choose to say it's negative or positive, in the end, it still is what it is. Period.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man, Herman. Well, another great show. And like I said, if anybody's listening in the Norfolk area, we will be at Seven Spices Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. We're running a workshop there for young comics to develop material. It's a great place to see things that are new to stage. It's a great place to see the local talent. And the food is wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Herman, it was always great talking to you. I'll be seeing you Wednesday.
All right, brother. It was a pleasure once again.
Yes, it always is, and it always goes by way too fast.
Yeah, man. Like today, this was like, man, the way we were in this really zoomed today. I was like, wow.
Yeah, wow. True. That's true.
Yeah.
So we're going to end the show as we always do, because this, to me, is a very positive message. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
When the enemy comes into your life like a flood, stand your ground and take your sword out in Luke 10 and go eyeball to eyeball with him and tell him, I have been given the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Stand your ground. When he tries to use one of his main tactics, which is fear, tell him, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand your ground. When he thinks you're down, tell him, I'm not down, Satan. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand your ground. When he tells you you're a loser, tell him, I am the head and not the tail. When the enemy comes after you, tell him, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand your ground. When he whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do this, throw Philippians 4:13 to him. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand your ground.